I am the Sandy Recovery Coordinator for the Atlantic District, Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. It's a full-time position. And first, before I begin speaking, I'd like to just thank Pastor Johnson and President Harrison and all the other people from the Purple Palace, John Folley, Carlos Hernandez, Bart Day. I'd just like to thank them all for all the help that they've given to the Atlantic District. And Glenn Merritt, I apologize if I forgot anybody from the International Center. More importantly, thank you for your financial support, and thank you for your prayers from as a synod and from all our congregations. And I am filling in today for Pastor Derek Leacakes, who is the district disaster coordinator, and he's also the vice president of Region 1. And he had a family emergency with his wife, so I'd ask you to please pray for him and his family today and keep them in your prayers for the next several weeks. I hope I don't talk too fast. I hope you can understand the way I speak, being a New Yorker or New Yorker. My congregation sometimes refers to me as Vicar Joe Pesci. So, and excuse me if I'm bouncing around. I put this presentation together on kind of quite quickly. And I have so much to tell you about how God is working through this disaster. And I hope by the end of the presentation I can pull this all together. And I'm kind of going to present it as a loose timeline of what went on. Dr. Rick Mars is here from the seminary in St. Louis, and just a funny story, when I went out to orientation last year at the seminary, he talked about the four biggest narcissists when they do MMPIs, which is a psychological study. He said the first one is criminals, the second one is lawyers, the third one is police officers, and the fourth one is pastors. I thought they were going to take me out of the seminary. You know, President Harrison was going to drag me out and say, I'm three or four. But I hope God guides me through my future ministry. Oh, okay. Well, again, I said, one of the things, this is kind of like off my little talking points, is, you know, Yogi Berra says it feels like deja vu all over again. And one of the reasons why I'm saying that is as I listen to these presentations, whether it was Chile or the Philippines, our care and our concern is all the same. Maybe we speak a different language. Maybe we're at other ends of the world. But the way we've responded as a church body and helped out, and the stories that we hear are very similar. And you know, as I thought about it too, this morning as I was shaking in my boots before I got up here, I just thought about my baptism. You know, I'm taking a course in baptism right now through the SMP program, and you know, we are living out our baptismal mission by doing what we're doing and spreading the gospel and living the Good Commission. And we get strengthened by the sacrament every Sunday or whenever we celebrate communion in our respective churches. How did I get here? Thank you very much for the very good opening that you gave me. I am a retired New York City police captain, former precinct commander. But what happened with me? How was I directly affected? Because Pastor Johnson said to me, please just talk about your story. So, you know, I was one of the very fortunate people in my neighborhood. I did not get affected by storm. I live in the center of Long Island, grew up in New York City. I didn't lose power. And I was one of the only blocks in the neighborhood that didn't lose power. And since I hadn't lost power, I was able to get all my emails. So that's how I kind of got involved in Sandy recovery. I was on the district. I had just joined the district disaster response task force at the last board of directors meeting for the Atlantic District. And I said, I'll join that. When's there going to be another disaster? And like a month later, there was a disaster. One of the jobs I was tasked with was just reaching out to different churches. He assigned me a block of churches, call, find out how the pastors are, see what's the physical shape of the church, and how his parishioners are doing. And then about a week or so later, I got an email about the position for the district disaster recovery coordinator. And I applied, and I prayed about it a lot because I was working for GEICO as a trial attorney, and I was making, you know, a very good salary with them. But I really felt God tugging at my heart and say, Tom, you know, and I know it's not all about the money. That's the one thing I tell my children. It's not about the money. It's about going out and serving God. So, and I, you know, I was affected by 9/11, not very kind of tangentially when I was on the job. And I was telling somebody this morning, I was supposed to be down there, but I would have been down there that morning, but I switched my tour back to the tour I was supposed to do. And the captain that took his original tour back, he was down there when the towers went down. And I was on my way into the office. So I was very, God definitely had a different plan for me. So, that's Hurricane Sandy. That's what it looked like over the United States. Long Island's up on the top there. But that's what Hurricane Sandy looked like. There were 14-foot wave surges. Now, I'll have to put a caveat in there, too. That says, welcome to Rockaway Beach. That's a NYPD. But again, I got this, I pulled this off the internet, so I will say that I would guarantee you that's what the waves look like. I wasn't down there that day, so I'm just hoping it wasn't Photoshop. But I would not be surprised if that's what the waves looked like that day. That's for real. That's what happened. You know, they call New York City the capital of the world. The city was shut down for weeks. But we had trees down all over Long Island, all over New York City, tree trimmers and tree cutter-uppers, and they were in short supply. Utility crews were in short supply. They recruited utility crews from all over the country. We had a gas shortage. There was some rationing that was going on, and it got pretty ugly. And they wound up rationing odd and even days. The one thing about Sandy was it was the perfect storm. I had gone to a workshop at Brooklyn Law School, which was where I went to law school, and they were talking about it was the perfect storm. And the reason why it was the perfect storm was it was as soon as Sandy hit land, it was high tide and it was a full moon. So any of you know, mariners out there know what that means. So that's one of the reasons why there was such a storm surge. This photograph up here is the sand from the ocean and the sand from the beach on this, I think this neighborhood is in Rockaway. But that's what people came out to. It almost looks like a snowstorm, but there's sand right there. The subways was shut down for a week. The Long Island Railroad, which is our commuter railroad, was shut down for 3 days, but went back with limited service. 911 had the highest calls ever, even higher than September 11th. They were getting 20,000 calls per hour from 3 p.m. on the 29th of October of 2012 till 3 p.m. the next day. In New York City alone, 100,000 cars were damaged, over 300 homes sustained damage. Governor Cuomo said that it was going to cost $42 billion for New York State to recover from Sandy. And in Rockaway, let me go to this one real quick. In Rockaway, the boardwalk was no more. For 37 blocks, the boardwalk was gone. Let me just go back. This is Pastor, right on the bottom over here, this is Pastor Alan Stanky. And I think if you're in LCMS disaster, Carlos Hernandez and Glenn Merritt, he lost his house. He lived on the water down in Massapequa. And we were able to, the Synod was, through the Synod funding, we were able to assist him, to help him recover. And you know, it was a very difficult recovery for him and his family. His daughter was separated. She had to move back in with Pastor and his wife. They had to use retirement funds to dip into their retirement savings to get back on their feet. We were able to assist him greatly. And he also had to take an SBA loan out to rebuild his home. Far Rockaway itself, where we're going to, I'm going to talk about several minutes, has the highest rate of childhood asthma in New York City. And as I was telling you about Pastor Stanky, there's a lot of frustration in New York with the rebuilding process. Everybody points their fingers at everybody else. If it's not, people will apply for homeowners insurance. Homeowners will deny the claim. They say it's flood insurance. Then flood insurance finds a way to try to deny the claim. FEMA really has not been helpful. They give a minimal amount of money. Then we have two different programs in the New York metropolitan area. One covers Long Island, that's New York Rising, and then the other one covers Build Back New York. Up until about a month and a half ago, Build Back New York had funded only 4 houses since in almost 2 years. And a lot of it's finger pointing, and it's a lot of it's changing the rules of play. Let me give you an example. Pastor Stanky took an SBA loan. This is just an example. It's not with Pastor Stanky, but Pastor Stanky took an SBA loan. If his neighbor next door decided, I'm not going to take an SBA loan, I'm going to try to do it myself or see what happens, they had a grant program that came along. So Pastor Stanky takes an SBA loan, which is a recordable instrument against your house. It's like a mortgage. Anybody that took an SBA loan, now if they apply for the grant money, New York Rising or Build Back New York, they're being denied for the grant. And they're saying, why? Because you have to duplication of benefits. Well, what's a duplication of benefits? Well, you already got an SBA loan. Yeah, but that's a loan. I'm going to take the grant money and pay back the loan. No good. So it's really, really, really frustrating for the people. There's still people living on the second, if they have a two-story house, there's still people living in the bedrooms of their second-story home. And they have not rebuilt the bottom of their homes yet. So it's really, really, we need to pray for those folks. So when I got hired, what were my goals as a coordinator? Well, my first goal was to handle volunteer requests, fielding requests for donations, and most importantly, to establish a Mercy Center, and I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. So as we go into our timeline, the first responders were the Coalition of the Willing. It's a term that was coined by President Behnke. And the first responders included Bart Day, Glenn Merritt, Carlos Hernandez, and John Folley had been present all during the initial phases of Hurricane Sandy. And the Coalition of the Willing, and you'll see that on the front of your manual, that's two members from St. Peter's Church in Brooklyn, which is the congregation that President Behnke serves, Clara Del Valle and Jose Pinedo. They're delivering goods. And right after Hurricane Sandy, there was a snowstorm in New York. I think it was November 8th. And the Coalition of the Willing was made up of congregations from the Atlantic District that assisted and is continuing to assist in the recovery effort. And they fanned out from Breezy Point, which is at the beginning of the Rockaway Peninsula, all the way out to Amityville, which is out in Suffolk County on Long Island. The congregations included those downstate, you know, the New York City area, the Long Island area, as well as congregations in upstate or northeastern New York. And the way the term the Coalition of the Willing got coined was, Bishop Behnke described it as the spontaneous response by the people of God in the face of disaster. And the Coalition of the Willing pulled together as God's servants and were boots on the ground for several weeks. They fed and they clothed many people during this horrible disaster. This is part of Breezy Point. It was a cooperative community down in on the west end of the island of Long Island, the peninsula there. 81 houses were burned down to the ground. The community is basically made up of civil servants. It's a beach community. A lot of people live there year-round. This is self-explanatory, multifamily house that was affected. And one of the other things that we did was, you know, we had distribution points. So here we have some people out in Far Rockaway where we've been serving, getting blankets. The very first assignment that I had as the Sandy Recovery Coordinator was coordinating a Christ in Christmas grant that was funded by the LCMS. We had received $40,000 in gift cards, and I was to distribute them through 9 congregations. And the biggest problem was obtaining the gift cards and distributing them before Christmas, because the grant came through very quickly. But we got the funds, I believe, like September 15th or 16th, and I had to find some place to buy or purchase gift cards. So we went to my pastor at the time, Pastor Chip Frelick. We went to his bank, Chase Bank, and we told him what we were doing, and then they waived all of the credit card fees, whatever it was for the gift cards. So that was really awesome. And we distributed those to congregations all along the path, Staten Island, Brooklyn, some of the congregations in Brooklyn, a couple of congregations in Queens, and about 6 congregations on Long Island. It was a great success, and out of that Christ in Christmas grant flowed the PSMS 43 story, which I'm going to tell you about in a couple of minutes. That's PS 43. What we did was we had a Christ in Christmas afternoon at the church on December 23rd. We gathered 40 cards and gift and water and blankets and personal hygiene supplies. And we went there. I'll tell you the story in a second, but we went there and we distributed to 40 needy families. Because many of them were not going to have Christmas. And we did that with the assistance of Catherine Molyneux, who we call our Angel of Mercy, who is she does mediation at the school with bullying. She also is a parent representative, and she's a social worker. But there's a lot more to tell you about that. But this is the Reverend Dr. Deanne Taylor, who is the first vice president of our district. He's assisting, handing out. We had flood buckets. He's handing out blankets there at PS 43. With your back toward you, that's Deaconess Jeanine Bowling from St. Peter's in Brooklyn. Our ministry really right now is we've been kind of focused on Far Rockaway. Most of our attention now is, all of our attention right now is focused on Far Rockaway. Far Rockaway is, if you could see that little green B, that's where it's located. It begins around Beach 59th Street, and it goes east to the end of the peninsula, and there's a little bridge there. And once you go over the bridge, you're into Nassau County, and Atlantic Beach was a very exclusive neighborhood. There's approximately 60,000 residents in Far Rockaway, according to the 2012 census. But the one number that doesn't include is the undocumented, and there's a lot of people there. Far Rockaway is basically a low-income area, and at one time it was a summer community of over 7,000 bungalows, and now there are blocks and blocks and blocks of empty lots and Section 8 housing that's been built on those where the bungalows used to be. There's only 500 bungalows left now. So, and most of the housing that was built there on these empty lots where the bungalows were was Section 8 housing. So sometimes we equate Section 8 housing with slumlords. So a lot of the housing that is there is either dilapidated bungalows or very poorly constructed Section 8 housing. And now the coalition noticed that the people of Far Rockaway were not being served after the storm. They also observed, more importantly, that there were no mainline Christian churches in the immediate area. There was one Roman Catholic church up on Beach Channel Drive, but from my history of living in Queens and where I went to high school, I knew that that church was not very active in the community because back then it was a low-income area. They noticed that the gospel wasn't being preached and that mercy was really not being shown. In fact, there came a point where the district reached out to the Red Cross and said, you gotta get down here and help these people with some food. In the area that we're doing ministry right now, by PS 43, there's really no nearby stores. A lot of people don't have cars. They have to walk they would have to walk probably a mile to get to a supermarket. And in an urban area, that's kind of far. So let me tell you the PSMS 43 story. And PSMS 43 is where we've been doing actual ministry. There was a holiday concert in Highland Park, which is in Brooklyn, right near the congregation that Dr. Benke serves. And his school director, Clara Del Valle, who you saw in the earlier photograph walking in the snow, was at this concert, and she met this woman, a teacher named Sharon Sessing, who was a teacher at PSMS 43. And they start to talk, and she tells Clara that there needs to be met at PSMS 43. So she puts me in Clara puts me in contact with Catherine Molyneux, our angel of mercy. And she tells me that there's families in need. She tells me that as a result of Sandy, there are 200 homeless children. She tells me that the school flooded. They had 10 feet of water in the school after Sandy. They had to close the school down and transfer all the students to a school in Brooklyn where there were no desks and no chairs. The teachers and the children were sitting on the floor for a month in the school until they were able to reopen PSMS 43. The boiler and the HVA system was destroyed. They actually had to bring in a portable boiler and put it out on the street on Beach 29th Street to heat the school. Now, PSMS 43 is on Beach 29th Street. It's on Beach 29th between the boardwalk on Rockaway and Seagirt Avenue. There's approximately 1,200 students on the campus. It's a school they have a preschool center on 27th Street. They have some trailers where they do classes on 28th Street where they do their special ed work. And then they have that big building you saw before. So they go from pre-K all the way through eighth grade. And the minute we walked in that door, the principal and the staff warmly received us. And like I said before, Catherine was able to organize 40 of the most needy families for our Christ in Christmas program. And when we did the Christ in Christmas, it was not just me and Reverend Dr. Taylor and President Benke. It was congregations from Redeemer in the Bronx, St. Peter's, and my home congregation. And the first time we ever met Catherine, she told me that the school needed a hope and a prayer, which became part of the name of our Sandy Recovery Center, which I'm going to tell you about in a little bit. And as the bishop and I met Catherine somewhere around September 12th, as we were leaving the school, we were walking by these Section 8 homes directly across the street, and people are dragging the stuff out of the house still, almost 2 months after the storm. That servant event of December 23rd, Christ in Christmas, began our ministry at PS 43, MS 43. And when we described what was going on to Glenn and Carlos and John Folley, they came and they visited. And Glenn, being the veteran international disaster guy, He took one, as soon as he walked into the school, he said, "Tom, I don't like the smell in here. It's full of mold." So, you know, mold remediation they've done in that school, I have no idea. But for a neighborhood where it's the highest asthma rate in the city of New York, I just hope they do something. PSMS 43 was featured at the convention last year. We had Catherine Molyneux actually did a little, 10, 15-second piece on what was going on at PSMS 43. So that's how much the National Office and Disaster Response has assisted us in Mercy in Far Rockaway. One of the other jobs I have, I'm going to digress here from PS 43 for a second. One of the other jobs I had was fielding volunteer requests from congregations that wanted to volunteer to help with Sandy. And the big question was, where are we going to put them? When I first came on board, we had various discussions about a camp, like a Camp Restore or a Hope Village, and there were really no locations that we could entertain more than 20 or 30 people. But we did have a congregation that was under the control of the district, Risen Christ, which is in Brownsville, Brooklyn, another low-income area, pastored by Pastor Dave DeMera. And we were able to set up a loosely put volunteer center. He had 6 empty classrooms. He had a preschool there at one time. And we were able to get cots donated from the American Red Cross. And through a grant from the Synod, we were able to set up a full kitchen. They had a whole full kitchen in Risen Christ, a commercial stove, commercial refrigerators. So we were able to set up a recovery center or a volunteer center there. One of the problems that we had, though, when I started fielding the volunteer requests, was many of the volunteers that wanted to come was to bring teenagers, high school kids. And we had to make a decision quite quickly that we could not bring any children under 18 to do this type of work, with hammers and the health issues. And so we couldn't do that. However, with one very special group of high school students that did come, and I'm going to tell you about them in a couple of seconds, that came to New York. We hosted 10 volunteer groups. We had about approximately 90 volunteers. We had volunteer groups. We actually had 2 volunteer groups from Family of Faith in Las Vegas. We had 2 volunteer groups from Our Savior in Topsfield, Mass. Through our volunteers, we were able to assist 56 families. We mucked and got their houses. I know Pastor Bjornstadt, he was there. I think he did the mucking and the gutting. And what I needed to do was I needed to partner with, I got involved in a Long Island VOAD. Somebody had told me to, not that I joined, but I got involved. Somebody from one of our congregations says, go see this woman, Diana O'Neill. And I did, and I was able to work with AmeriCorps, and they were doing all the mucking and gutting, so it was great. They get in their vans, they drive to the location where AmeriCorps was staged, they would get 45 minutes of training, they provided them with all the hazard suits, the biohazard suits, and they went out, we take them out to the location, and they did the volunteer work for a week. And what was good, too, was that the congregation at Risen Christ, where they stayed, was kind of hurting. They really didn't worship a lot of people. And it kind of reignited the passion in the congregation. So not only did we, and they also assisted in Sandy by just their volunteerism, by letting us use their church. We were able to give them a little bit of a stipend to help them along with the cleaning of the place after everybody left. And it was a very, very good relationship. This is our very first group. This is the back parking lot of Risen Christ. This is our very first group. That's at the time he was Vicar Eric Black. He was the vicar at Trinity Des Moines with 3 college students. He's getting his STM now at Concordia St. Louis. So that's one of our volunteer groups. Here's another volunteer group that we had. This was right after Sandy. We had one of our Northeast New York, up by the Canadian border, congregations came down, and they came down with a whole cooking set. And we were able to cook hot dogs and hamburgers for the people. And one of the funniest stories I heard, there was a woman in those apartment buildings, and they keep going up. They're like a tower, like 18 stories high. And they let a bucket down, and they put hot dogs in the bucket, and they brought the bucket back up for the woman. So that was really cool. This is one of our volunteers from, I think it's David Thompson from Our Savior in Topsfield, Mass, doing mold remediation. And these are more of our friends from Topsfield. I told President Yeadon that I would give a shout out to him today. So he's actually was a member of our congregation before he was ordained. He's a child of St. Luke Dix Hills. Good Shepherd, another great congregation that helped us out. Pastor Stephen Roth and his congregation. It's a tremendous, tremendous congregation. It's in Laurelton, Queens. It's a middle class, upper middle class, predominantly African American community. His church is large, is an African American congregation. Great man of God, great people of God. And they were out ministering to the people in Far Rockaway in Beach 46th Street. And he came up with an idea to do a Friends Sunday. All the people that they had met in their missionary walk to try to touch people with mercy, he invited them to come back. He went, knocked on doors, said, come to my church. We're going to have a dinner for you. So they invited him to worship, and then after worship, they had a wonderful luncheon for them. And the young man that you see there, several weeks later, was at the baptismal font. Okay? That's Kimali McKenzie. He was 12 years old, and he wanted to be baptized. And that was as a result of the efforts of and the servanthood of all the people in Good Shepherd Laurelton. And we invited him to our Festival of Workshops. Every year, with the exception of a district convention year, the Atlantic District has what they call a Festival of Workshops, and we have different workshops. It may be on, workshop may be on liturgy, another workshop may be on youth ministry, how do we care for seniors, education, and we invited him to be there. And they told their story. They told their story about what went on as a result of Hurricane Sandy. And Glenn Merritt presented there. Some of you may know Pastor Rick Armstrong. He did a piece on care for the caregivers. And several days later, we actually had a care for the caregivers session for our pastors. And we had some pastors came, and as Pastor Johnson was saying, you know, I'm okay. A lot of the pastors were, I'm okay. But we did have some pastors come, and it was a very, very good session. Some of the other examples of help that we got, the New England District and the New England District LCAF donated 78 cases of prepackaged rye casseroles, which were put together and bagged by two congregations. Brenda, I don't remember who the congregations were, but of course, thank you again so much. And Brenda and her husband graciously drove all that material down and some other stuff, some tools, down to Risen Christ in Brooklyn. And dropped it off. 30 flood buckets we received, and approximately 60 of those cases of the rice casseroles, myself and somebody who I knew from the American Red Cross was my contact person, we were able to give them to the Harry Chapin Food Bank to be distributed to the Sandy victims. So they went to a great cause to help our people. One of the other more significant things, and we talk about care for the caregiver once again, the Synod graciously gave a grant for a care for the caregivers, where pastors could take some time off, go somewhere, and decompress for a couple of days with their families. So that was very helpful. Some of the fundraisers that we had, Mardi Gras at Trinity Lutheran in Hicksville. There was a Sandy concert at Village Lutheran Church. It was a young man, Seth Schultheis. His grandfather is a LCMS pastor, Vernon Schultheis, and his dad is an LCMS pastor in Maryland. I'm not a real big classical aficionado, but the kid, he's a prodigy. Classical music was amazing, this young man, 12 years old. St. Paul's Lutheran Church, Bushwick, had a benefit concert, which was in, I don't usually do PowerPoint, so. The Friends Sunday baptism, St. Paul's concert. What was cool about that concert was it's a diverse congregation. White folks, Guyanese, Latino, Black, and as you could see, there were different types of music that were at the, they had praise dances, they had gospel. It was a really awesome concert, and that's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, Pastor Christoph Schultz. This is the Mardi Gras at Trinity Hicksville. That's Doris Gargan and her husband. They had all kinds of fundraisers, Chinese auction type stuff. They made masks for, there's some of the people at the fundraiser making masks for Mardi Gras. The thing was 2013 Christmas, the Christ in Christmas grant for 2012 was over. And what was the plan for the new year? And the plan for the new year was to develop relationships with PSMS 43 and the Far Rockaway community, and to find space for a Mercy Center. I don't want to say it was tough to develop relationship, because Ms. Catherine was great. She's the best. Great Christian woman. And she was our point person. She was a mover and a shaker in the school. She was a mover and shaker in the community. And she knew all the kids in the school and is well known in the community. I walked through the streets of Far Rockaway with her, and there are kids that are 18 years old. Hello, Miss Catherine. Hello, Miss Catherine. She knows everybody, all the children in the community and all the kids that went to PSMS 43, both the good and the bad. And I've seen her grab kids that she knows are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And she's, what are you up to? She scares me, and I'm a retired police captain. I mean, what are you up to? And, she has these kids. She breaks these kids in like 2 seconds. I mean, they give it right up. What are you doing? Why are you here? Go back to school. Go get it, do something with your life. She's tremendous. One of the things that we were asked originally was the preschool center, the preschool building was flooded with, I think, 4 feet of water. That's on 27th Street. And they have two classrooms with pre-K, universal pre-K, and they lost their refrigerators. And what they would do is they would store vegetables in the refrigerators, and they would make dishes in the classrooms, because they wanted to teach these children to eat nutritiously, especially in a neighborhood like that. They probably don't. So when we found that out, Ms. Catherine came to me and told us what was needed, and we spoke to President Benke, and within a week they had their refrigerators in the school. Valentine's Day 2013, we got to know a lot of the teachers too. You guys are back. Thank you so much. The custodians, you guys are back. Thank you so much. So we were able to honor the teachers. So we went out and we got Dunkin' Donut gift cards for all of the teachers and the staff. And if we didn't get to all the staff, boy, we heard it. But we were able to do that. And this is Clara Del Valle, Jose Pineda, and Deaconess Bowling visiting the school, bringing the stuff to the school. And that's Dr. Benke. That's Gary Fairweather, the gentleman on the left. And the gentleman on the right is Dr. Robert Wallenberg from Lutheran Social Services, New York. I told all our friends from Lutheran Church Charities that I would give them the shout out. Rich Martin called me up and he said, Tom, would you like to come? Where they were up in Newtown, they needed a break, but they knew that there was a need in Far Rockaway. So they brought six of the comfort dogs into the school. So I had to clear it with Gary Fairweather, the principal, and I thought he was going to have to call the Board of Ed, I have to get permission. Gary's like, bring them in. And we brought them in, and what joy they brought. 750 kids got to, and faculty also got to spend time with the comfort dogs. It was a great afternoon. Tiffany, were you there? Were you at PS43? Okay. That's the physical therapist. Her home was affected by, one of the physical therapists in school, her home was affected by Sandy. This is the best picture. Okay. That's Luther, by the way. That dog gets around. That dog really gets around. So what are some of the other things, again, building relationships. So some of the other things that they did was, Tom, could you come and speak at Career Day? So I said, okay, well, which career? You know, my mother still tells me you don't know what you want to be when you grow up. So which career, Catherine? And, you know, it was not so much about career. It was about choices that they make. That was kind of my talk. Make good choices. Catherine came to me and said to me right after that, Tom, that we have about, I think it was about 8 to 10 eighth graders that couldn't afford graduation stuff like gowns and yearbooks and rings, prom fees, that type of stuff. So we were able to put together some money and help those children. And the looks on those kids' faces when we told them that we were going to help them out, and these were all, most of them were affected by Sandy, was tremendous. Dr. Benke was the keynote speaker for the eighth grade graduation at the school. Right after that, right after last week of school in June of 2013, Our Savior New York, which is pastored by Pastor Matt Popovitz, some of you may know him, they decided we're going to have a block party on Beach 28th Street. So they brought 120 volunteers. They had music. They had a bouncy house. That was a great day. That was a great day. Again, just building things with the community. Christmas 2013, there was another, this past Christmas, there was another Christ in Christmas grant. And Miss Catherine, in her wisdom, said, Catherine, who can we touch this year? She says, let me get back to you tomorrow. So then she calls me up and she says, Tom, I have children and families living in transitional housing. So I says, what are you talking about? Transition, what is that? She says, well, basically, they're on the run from domestic violence. These are people that are basically, to put it in like law and order type terms, they're in like the witness protection program. They're hiding out from an abusive relationship. We were able to, living in houses in Far Rockaway, some of them from the Bronx, Brooklyn, we were able to give them gift cards for their children for Christmas. So that was a tremendous event. It had to be done very tactfully and confidentially. And Catherine and I and Deaconess Bowling and Bishop Benke, we respected all that confidentiality. And the one thing I have to say about Miss Catherine is she finds the most vulnerable people in the community for us to minister to. Valentine's Day 2014, we were back in the school, and everyone got Valentine's Day candy. And what we did was, like, what do we want to do? And then somebody says, well, listen, there's a candy factory down on Beach Channel Drive. They were affected by Sandy, but they just reopened. So we went down there. It was closed for almost a year, and we purchased candy for all the teachers and all the children in the school. And believe it or not, they gave us a deal. I mean, after going through Sandy and hitting financially, they gave us a deal when we told them what we were doing. On a more, on a mental health end, we involved Lutheran Counseling Center of New York, got involved in seeing children. They actually went into classrooms to evaluate classrooms, and they were able to identify children that were had post-traumatic stress syndrome after Sandy. You know, some of the stories we heard just in a classroom setting was, you know, when I hear it rain now, I get scared. It's going to be Sandy all over again. There was one young boy, young man, who actually survived. I forget who I was telling this to, because I gave most of my presentation to everybody yesterday anyway, in the, between the lunches and stuff. But he's telling us, he said, where are you from? He goes, he spoke with an accent, so I think the bishop asked him, where are you from? He said, I'm from Haiti. He goes, oh. He says, yeah, I was there in the earthquake. And he said how, he talked about how they were running through, out of their house, and his cousin ran through a building across the street. And as he ran through the building came down. And he was worried that his cousin didn't survive. And later that night, his cousin was there. So then he's like, we're out of here. You know, the family moved to here. They immigrated to the States because of what went on in Haiti. And now he's in the middle of Hurricane Sandy. So this kid was like 10 years old. So, you know, we've been in there vigilantly, and Lutheran Counseling Center has been very involved in the counseling area there. And there's even been requests by teachers. You know, a lot of the teachers that teach at that school live on the South Shore of Long Island. A lot of them were victims themselves of Hurricane Sandy. And if it was, they weren't victims of Hurricane Sandy, their brother or their sister or their mother or a good friend were affected. So they're even feeling, and then they have to go in and deal with children that were affected by Hurricane Sandy. So it's almost like a double whammy on these teachers. So we're gonna try to fund a grant through the district to get them back in there so they can do some more work. One of the other great stories, or one of the, not a great story, but one of the stories I did hear was this little chief custodian of the Early Childhood Center, and he goes, he lived in Howard Beach, which is, it's in southern Queens. It's where John Gotti used to live, okay? That's the neighborhood that he was from. But he lived in an apartment, on the ground floor apartment, and there's canals over there, and the canal overflowed and flew in, and he lost everything, and we were able to help him out. And every time he sees me, whatever I need, whenever we need to do anything, he helps us out. So that very special group of servant volunteers, Holy Cross Dallas. There's a story here, an LCC story. Diana Bonfield is very familiar with this story. Diana says to me, Tom, she calls me up, she says, Tom, we have a group from Dallas that would like to come up and do volunteer work. And I go, okay, well, how old are they? Well, they're all teenagers. And I says, well, we can't use them. Well, Tom, we have a problem. What's the problem? They've already bought plane tickets to come to New York. So I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? So I do a powwow with Catherine, and I said, look, what are we going to do? They want to do, like, sports camps and all that. And I'm like, right now we're only doing, like, recovery work. So Catherine says, let me talk to Gary Fairweather. Well, what happened was we said, come on up. Catherine got him into the school, and they were volunteering the last week of school with the children. They were able to help out at the rally day field day with the children. They volunteered at our block party. They were there for our block party. But one of the way we remember them is this. That was a mural painted on the back. That's where they would, for a better word, that's where the containers are for the waste in the school. And that was a mural that was painted by a young girl, Olivia Rutherford, with the assistance of her peers from Dallas, and the Rockaway Youth Task Force came along and helped out. And it's kind of, I don't know if you could see, this is an angel handing a baby to a fire, and it's not that clear. And then over here, this is the storm, and it's like a kind of a skyline of New York City up over here. She painted that in 2 days. 2 days. And of course, you know, we had our naysayers. Why are they doing, you know, one or two naysayers in the school, and the principal told them, shut up and get out of my office. So this year they drove up, they came back. They drove up 2 days, came to New York City, arrived at 9 o'clock. Vicar Chris Holder he's the an SMP vicar like myself, and he serves at Holy Cross in Dallas, and he brought up the same crew, the same adults with a couple of extra adults, a couple of other adults came up, but the same adults came up from the last time. First thing he did is, Tom, we ordered New York pizza. My kids are starving, so he was all, the kids were all happy. And I will tell you this, when I saw them, it was like they never left the summer before. It was just great to see them. So what do we have these teenagers do? Well, we made a connection through our Parks Department friends, New York City Parks. So a third of the children or a third of the teenagers went into the beach cleanup for a couple of days, right by the school. Another third of the children went into work in a community garden right around the corner. It's the Bette Midler Community Garden. She funded that community garden. And they worked in there. They rebuilt the picnic tables. They rebuilt benches. And the last thing they did was they worked at a VBS. We had our very first VBS in a public school in New York City. And I'm going to tell you that story next. And we had them come down as a Far Rockaway Beach, which is west of Far Rockaway, going towards Brooklyn. They lost a lot of police and firefighters and residents at 9/11. So they have a memorial garden there, which overlooks, when you go to the garden, it's right on the bay, Jamaica Bay, and you look straight across and you see the tip of New York City, and you see where the towers used to be, and then the new Freedom Tower that's been constructed. I saw it several weeks ago. It's a magnificent building. And unfortunately, when you look down from a hotel room, all you see is the footprint of the Twin Towers. But they were very moved by that. So like I said, we had a VBS, too. But here's a couple of more photos from our visit from our friends, from our brothers and sisters from Dallas. That's one of the young man in the white shirts from Dallas. We partnered with the Rockaway Task Force youth groups. Okay, some of you guys got it. Okay. That's the projects. That's public housing right back there. That's the Beach Channel houses. Crazy place on a Friday night. And he's helping. They just put up there. They have the community gardens there. They went around and they worked on the beds. And he's helping put up some more. I don't know what he's doing over there. But that was Odell. That's Chris Holder's daughter, and the little girl over here. That's over here. That's Lele. That's one of the little girls that came to our VBS. And that's Nene. She won that in the dance contest. So I had to take a picture of that. I thought that was great. And this is one of the girls from our VBS and one of the volunteers. Fooling around in the community garden, I guess. That was just before the barbecue that we had. I'll tell you about in a sec. That's the community garden. The woman in the middle, she's from the New York City Parks Department. She was aces. She was great. Whatever we needed, we got from her. She took us all around. She took us to the 9/11 memorial. She helped them with the beach cleanup. She helped us get a park for a barbecue that I'm going to tell you about. This is Miss Catherine, right here. That's Miss Catherine. She's my partner in crime. You got to watch when we go shopping. People are like, who are they? I went with her and another one of the women from my congregation, and I was walking through. I have a sense of humor, so I'm walking through BJ's to buy stuff for a barbecue. Says, "Hey, how do you like my girlfriends?" And the people were like, "It was pretty funny." Okay, Vacation Bible School 2014. It was our first, hopefully, of many Vacation Bible Schools there. I have a call. This is the next talking point I have here is the quest for a VBS spot. We were told, we approached the principal, Gary Fairweather, and said, listen, could we use a classroom in PSMS 43 for Vacation Bible School? And he was absolutely for it. He's like, yeah, you got it. Just apply for the permit. You have it. And then we find out that the school is going to be closed for the summer because they were ripping up the road in front of the school. So then it was a quest now to find space. And that didn't work out. We went to another location. We thought we were going to be able to do it at another location. The woman who actually ran the location was a member of an LCMS congregation, and you know, I was trying to talk her into it, and she was like, no, too much liability. I'm like, there's nobody here. We're going to be from 9 to 12. It was a very new center that they had set up on a little bit farther north of Far Rockaway. But anyway, it kind of worked out because lo and behold, we didn't know this, but PS 43 wasn't going to close because of the neighborhood that it's in. It's a feeding site for children. And I don't know if any of you come from other cities, but what is a feeding site? A feeding site is where the children come in the morning and in the afternoon to get breakfast and lunch, to make sure that the kids are fed. I mean, they get fed food. We're there to feed them with Jesus. So, and we found out through running around the school and walking and talking around the school that the summer camps that were going to be there were going to still be up and running. So Miss Catherine and I said, okay, we'll go see Miss Jackie, who runs the Beacon program, which is like the after-school program. It's funded by the Board of Ed, and she was the camp director. And we asked her about space, and she says, what do you need? So I said, we need one classroom. How many classrooms can you give us? She says, right now I can only give you one. I says, take one. And we didn't have to get a permit. She says, listen, just piggyback on my permit. Don't worry about it. So all the kids from Holy Cross, when they came, they just had to fill out paperwork that they were working with the camp there. And our first VBS, we had 11 children. And they were putting together our banner. These are some of our young ladies. These were some of our boys. And the camp was staffed by Miss Catherine. The young adults from Holy Cross. We had one Concordia Austin deaconess student intern and a member of Good Shepherd, Laurelton, and myself. And at the end of VBS, we had a barbecue in the community gardens. That's President Dave Benke, who attended, and he got his T-shirt the mission trip T-shirt from our friends in Dallas. And those are some of our friends from Dallas and Miss Catherine in the front. And here's some of the festivities going on. Those people you see in the orange shirts there, they're from the Far Rockaway Task Force. We also had one or two of the local elected officials come. We had somebody from the New York City Mayor's Office came and gave out some T-shirts and water bottles to people. So that really went over well. We had hot dogs and hamburgers, and then one of the Trinidadian women brought some nice food from Trinidad, and I said, Miss Cooper, where is the dal? And she goes, dal, how you remember the dal, man? I can't believe a year you remember the food. So the food was awesome. It was great. It was just such a great event. More of the kids from the volunteers. This was one of the dads that came from Dallas. The guy, he scared me. He was a really big guy. He told his son, Odell, come here. And you could see the fear of fear in his eyes. What a great guy, gentle giant. And a lot of these kids had never been to a beach before from Far Rockaway. They'd never seen sand. So then we had an end-of-summer barbecue. So we go and we try to get permits from the city parks department. We go down and see this Jill Weber. And I tell her where we want to have it. We want to have it at a park right near the school, Beach 30th and the boardwalk. And she goes, when do you want to do it? And I said, told her. She says, well, you know, you're supposed to really apply for the permit 30 days before. But she said, nothing ever goes on down there. Which means you don't do anything down there. The New York City Parks Department does nothing down there in this community, nothing. When I heard that, I was, like, shocked. But you know what? She expedited the permits for us. We got the permits in, like, less than a week. And the one thing she says, well, you can't barbecue in the park. So I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? So one of the assistant principals who's retiring tells Catherine, she says, just barbecue outside the park. So we go and see the park supervisor, who name was Catherine. So I said, hey Catherine, we want to have a barbecue. I know we can't have it here. Where does the park end? So she goes, right here. I go, well, we want to do the barbecue for the community. She goes, I'll tell you what, I'll make sure the spot's clean for you when you do the day you do the barbecue. So she actually cleaned the spot right like 5 feet away from where the entrance of the park was. And we were serving hot dogs and hamburgers. And Jill Weber came. And we said, look, we're barbecuing here. We're not in the park. She says, fine, no problem. So how some people say, well, how successful was the barbecue? I really can't tell you how many people were there because people were coming up off the beach. But we gave out over 500 hot dogs and hamburgers, 350 bottles of water. We had a DJ there. Once again, the Good Shepherd in Laurelton, I call up to get a bouncy house. So I speak to the woman. I says, hey, how you doing? My name is Tom Custonley. I'm from the Lutheran Church. We'd like to get a bouncy house. Are you available on Thursday? She goes, where are you from? I said, I'm from the Lutheran Church. She says, well, I'm a member at Good Shepherd in Laurelton. I go, Good Shepherd Laurelton? So you're with Pastor Stephen Roth is your pastor? And she goes, yeah. She cut the price of the bouncy in half. So we wound up getting the bouncy we couldn't get the kids out of there when it was over. We were assisted by, we reached out to members of St. Luke, my home parish, St. Peter's, Brooklyn, which is Dr. Benke's home, his congregation. Folks from the community gardens came and helped out. Members of the staff and faculty from PSMS 43 came. It was great. And then that same day, the teachers, it was their first day back to work. They were getting their classrooms together. And Catherine said, you know what would be a good idea? Let's welcome the teachers back. So we wound up getting them 3 6-foot heroes or whatever. I don't know what you call them here. Subs, hoagies. We call them heroes in New York. We wound up getting them 3 6-foot heroes. And they were, like, so appreciative. And the park supervisor I told you about, the other Miss Catherine, that was her day off. She came to the barbecue. So the local precinct commander came by. He stopped by, and turns out he remembered me from when I was on the in the police department. And, I spoke to him. I said, Pat, I told him where the center was going to be. And he says, don't worry, we'll give you special attention. One of the stories that Catherine told me about somebody else that attended the barbecue, a mom and her children had just come off the beach. And she says, oh, what is this for? She says, well, it's free. So she says, I'll be back. She went home and got her kids all dressed up to come back to the barbecue. She says, I would never let my kids come, to a barbecue looking like, with their bathing suits on. But the highlight of the afternoon was close to 100 people. That's the Queen's library came. They set up a little table. That's that's Dr. Benke and some of the people attending. But right behind him, that's the boardwalk. That part of the boardwalk wasn't destroyed. The other side of the boardwalk is the beach over there. But this is the highlight of the afternoon. We all got on the football field in a big circle, over 100 people, and Dr. Benke led an echo prayer that asked our Heavenly Father to watch over and guide the children in a successful school year. So we gathered over 50 backpacks that were donated from LWML and St. Luke Dix Hills, my home congregation, and Catherine was able to get them out to the needy children. May's office was there again. They distributed personal first aid kits to the adults that were there. Ms. Weber, Jill Weber came by. And you know what? The most important thing about our PSMS 43 experience and continuing relationship is that when we first met Ms. Catherine and Mr. Fairweather, the principal, and the PS 43 community, we promised them that we would not leave them and we would stay with them through this disaster, and we have. So, the history of the Mercy Center, the Hope and a Prayer Center by the Sea, and I think if you remember when I was at the beginning of the lecture, I said, Catherine said to Dr. Benke, Doctor, he says, we need a hope and a prayer to keep this thing going. So that's the name of the center. The center is now under construction. It's being funded by a grant from LCMS. Once again, thank you, Dr. Johnson and Glenn Merritt and all the people that helped us out with that. But the toughest part for me was, you know, I was tasked with looking for property to put this Mercy Center. And Dr. Behnke wanted it near PSMS 43. And the challenge was trying to find it there, because if we went anywhere else, we'd be literally on the other side of the railroad tracks. And you didn't want to go on the other side of the railroad tracks in Far Rockaway, because there's a lot of gang activity down there. And we were afraid of the children going to where you know, to the other side of the community. In 1 week there, a week and a half, they had 12 shootings in that area. We attempted to license property from the city, where we would lease a piece of vacant land for the city for $100 a year. We went all the way through the process. We were getting ready to sign an agreement. And at the last minute, they said, oh, you can't have this dilapidated land because it was a parks department prop. It was city-owned, but they gave it to the parks department for a community garden that is not really a community garden. So we expended resources on that. Then we got a line on a piece of property on Beach 26th Street at the boardwalk. It was owned by Parks Department. They told me, Tom, you need to do this, 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 and that. And I did this, 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 and that. We sit down with the local elected official, a city councilman. And that morning, as I'm going, I'm putting my suit jacket and tie on to go down and kind of like finalize the deal before we actually signed the dotted line. And I get a text from Ms. Weber and said to me, you haven't demonstrated a Parks Department purpose for to use the property. And I'm like, wait a second. We're in the middle of a disaster here. When I was in the, you know, I hate to use police war stories, but when I was in the police department and there was an emergency, we took one of those real big command posts and we just set it up wherever the heck we wanted to. And I says, we're going to fix this lot up. It's going to look nice. We're going to put a nice building here. Well, you haven't determined a Parks Department purpose. I says, look, if we go and we sweep the boardwalk once a week, was that a Parks Department purpose? I was infuriated. And I lost another 6 months of trying to get the Mercy Center together. The good news is we do have a location for our Mercy Center. That's what it looked like before we started construction or renovations. And I want you to take a look at this thing right here. You may not be able to read it, but I'll read it for you. It says, absolutely no hanging out, drinking, or transactions. Okay? You see that corner store there? Prior to it being closed down, was a drug set. And we used to say in the police department, it was a drug spot. They were selling drugs out of there. So we're taking a spot that Satan had taken over, and we're putting a Mercy Center and hopefully a church plant, and we're going to get a church going there. This is another part. We have three storefronts that we've leased. That part of the building is right around the corner. What they wanted to do when I called the landlord up is this: we're going to put a liquor store in there on the corner property, and go, oh yeah, this is exactly what I said to them. Oh yeah, the community really, that block really needs a liquor store, you know, on a Friday night. I mean, 12 shootings and it wasn't a liquor store in 1 week. So I said, listen, I'll take all three storefronts from you, give me a price. And he gave us a price, and we were able to negotiate a lease. I spoke to the precinct commander that day, and I says, oh, Tommy, where are you setting up? I said, 26th and Seagirt. And he goes, you're kidding me, right? I said, Pat, I'm not kidding you. He says, the people need us down there. He goes, you know what, Tom, you're absolutely right. He says, just be careful over there. He says, you know, two of my cops went to a family dispute, and they got beat up by four people. And he said, one of them got seriously injured and was in the hospital. So just be careful over there. But, you know, I'm going to tell you a story in another second about something else. The block around the block surrounding the center has a lot of abandoned bungalows. There's an apartment building right on the ocean at Beach 25th Street that never got C of O's, that has never rented it out. It's like a 17-story building, and it's leaning. And when I took Dr. Behnke down the block for the first time, he was like, wow. It looks like The block was a disaster before the disaster. So a lot of old bungalows, really horribly made Section 8 houses. And then there was a woman, I was going over to the center, and to see what was going on with the construction. There's a woman walking with her two little children, and she's yelling at her children, and some of the language that was coming out of her mouth at these children, I was like, I mean, was horrible. But then she turns to the kids and she says, look at that place, and she points to the center, and she says, they're putting a church there. Some of these hooligans need to get saved and go to that church. So it's funny, but we know what? You know what that says? The community knows why we're there. The community knows we're there. The doors are open. They're coming in. Everybody's stopping. And what's going in here? What's going in here? What's going in here? So it's out in the community that we're there. And then I remember walking over with Catherine from the school probably the next day to go look, show her the progress of the center. And she says to me, Tom, and like you could see her heart is breaking. Tom, look at all these men, like, you know, 20-something men walking around doing nothing or hanging out doing nothing. She says, what do these guys do all day long? You know, hopefully one of the things that we're going to do in the center is we're going to get some job training. And one of the other things we'd like to do is address the domestic violence issue. So that was something I was discussing yesterday with Bishop Benke and who we're partnering with that. The permit process was a little slow. The other things that we're going to do in the center is disaster case management. We're trying to partner with the Archdiocese of New York because they have the contract for all the disaster case management for New York. And they subcontract a lot of their work out to other agencies. So we hope to get Lutheran Counseling Center back in there, but we also have alternative counseling that we can get in. One of the other things, I've made a contact with the Visiting Nurse Service of New York, so we're hoping to do some like free flu shots, and maybe we could get them in to do some checking up of the kids with asthma and all that stuff. So that would be awesome. That's the room on the side that I showed you. That's what it looked like. And you really can't see it in this picture, but there was a big buckle in the floor. So what we had to do is we had to rip that whole floor out. And underneath it was like steel joists that were all rotted away. So we had to pour concrete in there to get it going. This here is, that's the architectural drawings. Over here. Can you hear me back there? This is the corner. And we hope to have, like on this wall, we're going to have we had a smart board donated yesterday. So we're going to put a smart board and a TV and some computer stations for the community to come in. So we hope to have a full service community center going on there. You know, one of the things I had to keep in mind in working in Southeast Queens, especially in Far Rockaway, the community really has a hard time getting their act together. Believe it or not, a lot of their public officials, elected officials, are under indictment. The community council member right now is very on board with us. I think he's sincere. We're going to work with him. Donovan Richards is his name. Great guy. So I've worked with him. I just became a member of the Queens Recovery Coalition. It's not a VOAD. It's just non-for-profits and faith-based groups trying to assist in recovery because the community is so fractured there. And one of the things I wanted to tell you was they had an exercise and said, with all these people in this big room, said, okay, how many of you guys are going to be here, groups are going to be here in 3 months? Almost everybody stood up. How many groups are going to still be here in six months? Maybe half to a third sat down. How many people are going to be here in 9 months? Maybe like four or five people. How many people are going to be here a year or more? And I was one of the only, I think it was myself and another group that are only going to be here a year or more. So they're going to be hurting in about a year. There's not going to be anybody out there except us and maybe one other organization. So, and the one thing, the learning experience I have, and this is where if any of you have never really done disaster recovery or that you're just getting involved, is again, one of the things is building relationships, but the other thing was, for me, it was a learning experience. You know, I said to somebody earlier today, you know, if I responded to a scene of a shooting or a homicide and there was a body on the floor, I knew what to do. I knew, you know, as a captain, I got to play with all the toys. I got to call out, you know, the SWAT, emergency service, the SWAT team, bring the helicopters, the dogs, but it was a little different doing disaster recovery. And I kind of audited the long-term recovery group on Long Island, which is pretty much a very well-oiled machine. It was night and day between what was going on in the boroughs. And that's where I kind of like got my feet wet. And I really, within 2 or 3 months, I really learned the ropes of the whole process in disaster recovery. And how to do things, and they were very helpful in getting my volunteers with AmeriCorps. Our construction began on August 21st, 2014. That's the first hammer hitting the wall. Within a day, they had the whole place gutted. That's that room when you walk in the corner, looking towards the great room. This is just the framing out of the back offices. They already started framing the sheetrock in the offices. All the electrical is in. The plumber was supposed to be there this week to install the bathrooms and all the plumbing for the bathrooms and the bathroom sink. I got to pick out the rugs. So that was pretty funny. You picked out rugs? Okay. I picked out the tile for the bath. So the bathroom should be done pretty soon. That's just looking in as you walk into the center from that corner location. That's what it's going to look like. Fundraising. The Atlantic District has raised over $250,000 since Sandy, and partnering with LCMS, who has been very, very generous, extremely generous. We have a significant amount of money that we can put towards the center and assisting in recovery. One of the things we're most proud about is that we were the recipient of the Fred E. Leitz Mission Project Award. That was held, that was the plate offering at the conference, the leadership conference last year. We received $14,500 from that. And that's myself and all the people from the LCF. And that's Jonathan Rathnasamy. He's our mission planting. He's our missions guy. And the two gentlemen, Rich Johnson from LCEF. I'm good, right? Huh? Okay. 2 minutes ago? Okay. Okay, challenges, real quick. One of the things that was challenging to me was, what have I learned? Put on the armor of God. You know, I had to jump. There was a lot of worry. There was a lot of anxiety in Ephesians. That passage from Ephesians 4, put on the whole armor of God. And Matthew 26, that you spoke about yesterday, do not be anxious. And I really saw how the people of God, the challenges, finding property, was discouraging, as I said, developing relationships in the community and gaining trust. You know, my cop antennas would go up, my lawyer antennas would go up when I meet people, and Catherine's had to say, like, relax, Tom, okay? Getting to know the elected officials, finding the key people in the community, and personal growth is prayer, prayer for the victims, asking God's protection and guidance over the project, learning to trust people in the community, and seeing God's work through disaster. Just my hiring, how that came about, the Christmas at, you know, who the Holy Spirit moved through that Highland Park thing. Meeting Catherine, if that wasn't a Holy Spirit moment, I don't know what was. Finding space, we found space where we wanted it. The people from Holy Cross, the piggybacking on the VBS with the other program, that had to be Holy Spirit. The end of summer barbecue and the expedited permits and the bouncy Holy Spirit moment. The center right down the road, like I said, the future needs, tangible equipment. We ask you to pray for that. Right now we have a fund drive out. We've already collected $8,000 in 3 days. And prayer for the people of Far Rockaway, the center, the staff. Prayer for the future worshiping community at Far Rock. Prayer for the Atlantic District. Prayer for Pastor Johnson and his office and President Harrison as they continue to lead us through the disaster response. And finally, that we could plant that Word and Sacrament congregation in Far Rockaway. Thank you. Figure out how to use this.
Thank you, Tom. And the piece of artwork that we wanted to give to you is, of course, again, made by Patty Miller in Alabama, a Lutheran artist. And this is the piece. It says, "Follow me" at the bottom, has the loaves of bread. And it's a reminder of us to follow Christ. And the scripture verse that it was inspired by is Matthew 4. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and they followed Christ.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.